Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
There is reason to celebrate. You know the reason to celebrate? The NFL is back tonight. Yes. Hall of Fame game this evening. Raiders-Jags, I think. No, what do you mean, am I nuts? No, I'm not nuts. The NFL is back. We're going to see tackle football played at the highest level tonight.
Wait, time out. The last part of that was at the highest level.
Yeah, it's professional. It's the NFL. It's not the XFL. It's not the USFL. It's not college. The National Football League will kick the pigskin tonight.
So we're
tonight.
Seeing the competitive nature of guys ready to elevate their game from the XFL to the reserve roles that they're trying to earn with
Absolutely.
NFL teams. That is big-time football.
You guys watch with me?
There's guys trying to get jobs tonight.
Yeah?
Yeah. There's a lot on the line this evening. A lot. Livelihoods, families,
is there a lot
people
on
to feed.
Right? So is that enough to entice you to watch the whole game?
Oh, I'm not watching it. Snap.
There
no.
you go.
No,
I'll be watching.
Brendan's
what
all over.
What the hell is wrong with
Brendan has DFS lineups already.
You have video games, 9,000 freaking fantasy football teams to draft. What? How would you watch all of that?
What?
You have enough to occupy your time between making sure Uber drops it off at the right location. You got video game playoffs in football. You've got all these fantasy leagues to draft.
No, it's like week 3 of 2026 in Madden. I've drafted 60
teams
already.
You were just in the playoffs last week in New York.
Yeah, now it's week 3.
Do you know how video games work?
Evidently, I don't, and obviously I do not.
They don't play one game a week.
We play like one game a day. No, I'll be watching tonight. I'll be playing some daily fantasy. I think today is one of the most exciting sports days. Obviously, it's not a Super Bowl. It's not a championship.
One of the most exciting sports days on the calendar.
If you take off the playoffs, it's as exciting as it gets.
If you take off the NFL playoffs, this is as good as week 7 in the NFL. This is as good as Sunday
ticket.
Exciting,
not as good. I didn't say as good. Those are very different words.
It's as exciting as week 7 watching the NFL Red Zone channel.
Yeah.
No,
yes, it is.
Call Planters. Jerry, call Planters. This guy is so nuts. They need to try and market it, because there's absolutely no way this is one of the biggest, if not the most exciting day in sports.
Look, see, I love what today symbolizes. Like, I'll be honest. I'll play in the middle here. I like what it symbolizes. I like the fact that we're going to get an NFL football game tonight, and we're going to start seeing preseason games. We're going to start seeing competitions around the league for starting jobs, which gets us ultimately to the pinnacle week 1 in the National Football League, which, of course, is one of the greatest times of the year. As far as the game goes, I won't watch it.
What's your quarterback matchup tonight? Because you know the starters and the backups aren't playing.
There's nothing more profitable in the daily fantasy world for me than preseason football. I regularly watch out-of-market preseason football games, and it starts tonight.
So do you have plays tonight, or what? Who's your quarterback play? Is it Jacksonville's third string, Jake Luton, or is it the fourth string, Kyle Slaughter?
Here's the thing.
I've got to go with the Slaughter.
I don't know a damn thing about either team or their backups. I pay for that research. I pay for a year-long subscription to that research, and I let somebody else put all
and
their
And you cash
time
in on it.
Oh, preseason daily fantasy football is far and away the most profitable sport for me. It's not even close.
Nick Mullins, third-string quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders. Just win, baby. Do you think that mantra plays in week 1?
Nope.
It's not even week 1, is it? It's just a Hall of Fame game. I think week 1
is
actually different.
Officially week 1 of preseason is next week.
Yeah, this is even week 1 of the preseason. Chase Garbers, if you're looking for a DFS play, Chase Garbers, fourth-string quarterback.
Who's that?
For the Las Vegas Raiders. I've never heard of Chase
Garbers.
Where
did he play college ball?
I've never heard of Chase Garbers.
Me either.
California. He played at Cal.
Oh.
You're not up with your Pac-12 football, huh?
Nope. Not that much. Nope. Yeah. Sorry.
So we ask you the question.
Travis Etienne, by the way, will not play.
No chance. James Robinson.
Devontae Adams, probably not.
Are the starters expected to play at all?
I have no idea, but probably not. To be honest with you, that's not important.
That doesn't. I know that.
I enjoy it more when the starters don't play.
It's not important for you, but for 95% of our audience, if there's any intrigue to watch a down of football tonight, it's because they're going to want to see what Trey Lance looks like, or I'm sorry, Trevor Lawrence looks like in a Doug Peterson offense. They want to see Devontae Adams in the Raiders gear. Yeah.
Nobody in our audience is watching this game unless they're like me playing daily fantasy.
Disagree. 713-780-ESPN. If you're watching a down of this game, what is your motive to watching a down of the Hall of Fame game tonight?
Probably the interviews.
780-3776.
The guy's going in the Hall of Fame this weekend and maybe getting Devontae Adams with a half a mouth of seeds to talk about why he made the decision to go to the Raiders.
We also asked the question, though, and we'll get to yours here in a second, Blankers, maybe even you, Brendan, if we allow you to talk after that awful take. Moments in your life, it could be sports too, that you get excited about that most people don't. 713-780-ESPN. Moments in your life you get excited about that most people don't. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Keith, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. Go ahead, Keith.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing? Enjoying the show again today. I'm going to be out for a loop, but I used to get very excited about seeing Michael Johnson run. And for any of you millennials, just YouTube Michael Johnson in track. He had this upright running style that was awkward looking, but he never lost.
Gold shoot.
He was before Usain Bolt. That was Michael Johnson. And
he's from Dallas. So,
y'all have a good one.
Appreciate
the call,
Keith.
Yeah, he had
the
gold shoes in the Olympics.
Oh, I remember Michael Johnson.
Prolific sprinter.
He was a star in the Olympics. I can't remember the Olympics. It was maybe 2000, 2004
Probably
Olympics.
In and around there.
But yeah, he was fun to watch. I loved Michael Johnson. The gold spikes, that was cool to see. So I don't know if that one would be, like, qualify as moment in sports that you get excited for that most people don't. Because I feel like Michael Johnson, maybe I'm wrong there.
That's
maybe
not it's a preseason game, though. Whenever he ran, it normally was something was on the line. It was a World Championships or the Olympics or something like that. And let me squash this misnomer real quick from Hector, who constantly texts us things to annoy me. But he said Joel would have a totally different perspective if this was the Packers. False. Wrong. And you know how much I'd watch of it? Zero. Not even close. It's not even week one of the preseason, and I hate preseason as it is, except for traditionally week three when a lot of the starters play. If the Packers were playing tonight, I would be watching Astros baseball. Just like if the Raiders and Jags are playing tonight, I'll be watching Astros
baseball.
Jeremy
can't confirm. I was complaining in the pre-show about the Lions having never played a Hall of Fame game.
Yeah.
I would go. And I'm telling you that with confidence.
I mean, going to Canton would be cool.
You have HBO?
Yeah.
Well, you got to have Hard Knocks. I mean, because Hard Knocks is your year, baby.
Tuesday. I'll be watching for sure.
Now, like, I just, if this was the Texans playing in the Hall of Fame game, I would watch every snap.
Well, it's a little different because we have to talk about them. And so you care about the camp battles, the things that, you know, we hear you guys and Cody talking about all the time. That it's a little bit more where we have a lot more interest in it because it's part of our jobs. I'm the biggest Packer fan on the planet. I don't give a rat's ass about the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah. I love that what it symbolizes.
Unless I want to see if Jordan Love's going to crap the bed for one more year.
Well, so and there, even you go. Then, you're there you go. You want to watch?
No, I don't. I'll get a report after the game from about six different freaking bloggers, reporters, and sources.
But
that
don't
say
you want to trust your eyes more than somebody else's eyes?
My eye test will be fine in week three, four, in the regular season.
He's probably not playing week three, week four.
Exactly.
In the
That's what I'm focused on. The players that matter.
Then there is value to producing well. In the preseason.
We make a roster spot, like you said. Save your family, make some money.
But even sometimes, like Jimmy Garoppolo, preseason for the Patriots, all of a sudden he has trade value. Like, it is significant.
Tony Romo proved he belonged.
Yeah. I mean, it is significant. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HRP listener line. Jared, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Jared?
Not much, brother. Thanks for having me. I will watch just about every down of the preseason game tonight, and I'm a Steelers fan, but just looking back on, I think they played Dallas last year, and players like Isaiah Loudermilk, people that ended up starting on our D-line, I mean, without seeing them in the preseason, wouldn't have gotten an idea. We hear all the draft talk. I hear you guys talk about the draft incessantly for months on end, and I was the first chance to actually get a chance to look at those draft picks, and I get excited about it. Even though I'm not a Steelers fan or not a Raiders fan, I look forward to seeing Zamir White. Hopefully he plays tonight. I think the Jags drafted Chad Muma, somebody I wanted the Steelers to take a look at. So I get excited. I've been waiting on football for months on end. I mean, This is the first chance I get a chance to look at it, so I'm definitely going to take advantage.
There you go. Thank you for calling, Jared. So I think that that's – you can chalk one up to our side of the argument here, Brendan. I think – because that's not
– one's a pretty good sample size.
What's that?
One person is a pretty good sample
size. I mean, it's 100% size. Of the sample size. It's 100% of the sample size that we've had that called. Like, if you're watching
– Don't look at the text line.
The text line is, like, they're saying, yeah, we're going to watch the game. Why
I'm
we're
just
watching?
Saying Brendan's got an army lining up on his side.
No, I don't think so. No, Brendan,
they're not going to watch the whole game, but they're like, damn right, it's football. I'm watching. Football starts tonight.
That wasn't our argument. Our argument was the motive of why you're watching the game. 713-780-ESPN. Don't tell us why you're going to watch, don't tell us that you're going to. Tell us why, because Brendan's motive was that they're gambling on it, that you have some DFS. That wasn't the motive of the caller.
But the
at
other,
all.
The statement that takes it over the top is the most exciting.
Yeah, that was the most exciting.
I walked that back pretty significantly. But, no, it is – it's a very – like, the lead-up to it absolutely is one of the more exciting moments in, like, obviously the trade deadline. But aside from that, throughout most of the baseball season, like, that's kind of a big lull,
I'm
right?
more excited for the NFL draft than I am the Hall of Fame game.
Well, the NFL draft is awesome.
It is.
Love the NFL draft. What do you mean
the
build-up?
NFL draft was in April.
What do you mean the build-up, though? Like, the build-up of the season, like,
I mean
about to happen?
You go through the summer – and there's this lull of, like, even when you have a good baseball team.
See, I don't know about this.
There's still very large lulls. There's not a ton going on. I guess you get the NBA Finals and then, like, the wave of free agency and draft. But, like, most of the summer is meh. And then you get this moment that's a big moment.
See, like, the way you're describing it, though, is that you've been thinking about the NFL Hall of Fame game for, like, weeks and months. Like, it's been this built-up moment where it's like this, you know, dormant volcano that is about to erupt how you view the NFL Hall of Fame game. I'll be honest with you, this isn't unique to 2022. When the NFL Hall of Fame game is upon us, when we're talking about the NFL Hall of Fame game, the day of it happening that night, it slaps me right across the face. Oh, yeah, the NFL Hall of Fame game is here. I've had zero motivation and zero buildup to the NFL Hall of Fame game.
Genuinely, the first moment I started really counting down was when we hit a month to the Hall of
Counting
Fame game.
Down.
I'm completely serious.
Counting down the days.
So weird.
I am 100% sure I texted multiple friends about we are a month away from the Hall of Fame game.
Do you know? No, we're not friends.
Evidently, we're not on the in crowd.
We're on the outside. We're on the different group chat where we're the puppets,
we're
not the friends.
Puppets.
Yeah. You know whenever I started the countdown for the Hall of Fame game?
Tell me.
The start of this segment. The start of this segment is when I began
to
I didn't even start a countdown yet.
I just put it on the radar as something that I know is going on.
713-780-ESPN. Tell us, if you are watching the Hall of Fame game today, tell us why. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. We also have the other conversation going, too. What are moments in sports or your life, like Brendan with the Hall of Fame game, that you get excited for that most people don't? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Brendan has his night all planned out. He's going to turn down the lights, maybe light up a couple candles, turn on some Frank Mancini. And he's going to watch the NFL Hall of Fame game.
Frank Henry's brother?
Is it not Henry Mancini?
Henry Mancini is the musician.
Who's Frank Mancini?
I don't know. I was going to say, who the hell is Frank?
Did I say Frank?
Yeah.
I meant Henry. There
like
you go.
Like Sylvester Stallone's brother, Frank Stallone.
I didn't even know I said Frank.
Yeah, had some top hits, but... I don't know who Frank Mancini is.
Well, Brendan does. That's what he's doing tonight as he watches the NFL Hall of Fame game.
Imagine him losing his mind if his food doesn't show up prior to kickoff.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you made bets yet?
No, I'll do that after the show.
You're going to set a lineup?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Single game? Who's your captain?
I'll probably spend 90 minutes on my lineup today.
90 minutes on your lineup. All right. More minutes.
More than you spent on the show.
He's going to spend more minutes.
That is absolutely not more than I spend on the show.
Working on his lineup, it's going to be more seconds than I spend watching
this game.
What are
you doing? Like, you're looking at these third and fourth string quarterbacks as like...
You read write-ups from people who do this for a living.
He pays for a subscription.
I heard that.
He pays for a... Like, I am intrigued who they're going to...
They do write-ups on, like, every player who will likely get a play.
There you go. There you go. Anyways, also, like, Brendan loves the Hall of Fame game. So this is a moment in his life that he gets excited for that most people don't. What about you? What are moments in your life that you get excited for that most people are like, dude, what are you getting excited for? Who cares?
Well, I mean, I think first and foremost, I love Masters Week. And I love everything around the Masters. And unless you're a true golf guy like we both are and Granato is, I think a lot of people think you're absolutely nuts if you get excited about the par three contest and everything that is centered. And Brendan obviously is one of those guys that doesn't understand it, that Augusta and the Masters is must-see TV and everything around it. I could watch it the entire time.
Yeah, I'm probably, like, golf is definitely the niche sport that I'll watch. Like, the majors more than anything else, but I'll even throw on a, you know, just a random tournament if it's not, like, outside of football season.
Well, I watch golf on TV all the time. Matter of fact, when Lisa sees, she walks in the living room, if she sees golf on TV, she goes, does this mean that you're going to be indisposed for 3 hours?
Yeah.
See, like, I'm like, oh, it's not a big tournament. I can leave it.
I like almost all sports. So, like, a lot of them are niche sports, if we're being honest with you. Like, how much of our time do we spend talking about, like, we spend all of our time talking about sports, but how much of that is basketball, football, baseball? Almost 100% of it. Yeah. So, like, but I also love the UFC. I love boxing. Like, I'll watch an F1 race whenever
you
I catch it on a Saturday morning.
Formula One Real Housewives
absolutely.
Show.
I'll watch some Premier League. I'll watch the world. Like, I love sports. I'm a sports junkie. I'm a one-trick pony. So, like, any niche sport I'm in. College baseball. Like, I was going nuts about the college baseball postseason. I was watching it during the show.
Well, yes, you were.
Like, that's
well,
one thing that I get excited
for. You also
call
college baseball on a regular basis.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I would love to power rank, like, these things that you're mentioning.
I think Dynamo fans are already pissed off at Jeremy because he called soccer a niche sport.
I mean, I didn't say soccer, did I?
Yeah, you did, because you said, I watch a soccer match and I'll watch whatever.
Premier League's not niche, though. Premier League's the most popular league in the entire world. Mm-hmm. That's not niche.
But I would love to.
You roped it into, you said, I'll watch anything. I watch niche sports, and then you went there.
Look at him trying to get me in trouble.
I would love to power rank, like, Formula
the
One.
Crush is coming for you.
College baseball, Hall of Fame game.
Then power rank them. Go for it. If you want to do it, do it.
Well, I didn't mean, like, me so much as, like, a community ranking.
I know what you meant. I know what you meant. A lot of people are weighing in on this. Whether it's things that you get excited for. Brendan with the Hall of Fame game. Blankers with, like, the Masters. Me with, like, all these weird niche sports. Not including soccer. Not including the Dynamo. 3414. Marky Mark in Spring. He said, been counting down the days for this just as long as Brendan. Me and my fantasy football league owners start counting super early. Marky Mark from Spring. Are you playing fantasy football preseason games in your fantasy football league? Like, what does that mean?
No, it's got to be daily, right?
But it says in his league.
Because you're going to have to gut most of your roster by the time you get to the regular season.
Man. 4965.
Isn't that right, General Manager of the Year, Brendan? I mean, if you're doing preseason, you're going to have to gut your roster to get real starters
by
week
one. The only thing I could possibly think of is daily fantasy sites offer leagues where you play against the same people year round. That's the only thing. I don't see how you could actually do a real league.
I'm in two dynasty leagues, and our draft is always the first Saturday of August. So I have a draft on Saturday, but there's no stakes on the preseason game. You might draft and store and monitor their progress, but you're not playing any sort of games. So I'm not exactly sure what Marky Mark meant. 4965, things that you get excited for.
I think it was just a good vibration.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Things that you get excited for that people don't. 4965 says, I get excited about Poncho's Mexican Buffet.
Okay. I've never been there.
You've never been to Poncho's? You never raised the flag?
No.
My goodness. Where's that? You got to explore some
sounds
things.
Great.
I used to go to the one in Humble whenever I was. I haven't. I'll be honest with you. I haven't been to a Poncho's in.
Is there one nearby here?
I don't know. The only one that I know of is in Humble.
Maybe that's why I haven't been to one.
They used to be all over, but they kind of died down. Okay. There's only a couple left, I think. The last time I've been to a Poncho's was probably 25 years ago.
Brendan just checked out. He'll be back next segment. Joe Fortenbaugh is now on ESPN talking about tonight's plays for preseason between the Raiders and the Jags. So he'll be back in a segment.
If I threw some money down, I might be able to watch a snap. But we were asking you, too, if you're watching the game tonight, why? Why are you watching? Also,
who's calling it?
7517, it's football. Bet your butt we're watching.
Depending on who's calling it, I'd be interested in the new play-by-play team or...
Do you know what network it's on? I couldn't tell you. Look, Brendan doesn't even know. That's how excited he is.
I don't know
that. He doesn't even know what the DVR
is.
No.
We've had all the musical chairs in NFL broadcasting this offseason. I'd be curious to see who's calling the game. I might check out who's calling the game.
7517.
If I'm really searching for a reason why I might check it out for a little bit. If the Astros are up or 11, I might turn the channel.
I'll watch the Astros up 11 in the 7th before I watch the Hall of Fame game. 7517. I went to Poncho's 2 weeks ago. Still absolute dog S-word.
Oh, wow.
1269 or 1296. I get excited to listen to both of y'all. Is that a niche thing? Is listening to the Killer Bees a niche thing?
If it wasn't, we'd be doing better. We'd love it.
Moments in your life that you get excited for most people don't. 1296 said listening to the Killer Bees. Thank you. Nice
burn
there.
We love you listening. Now spread the word in a hurry.
nice burn, 1296. That's well done. 5038, I'll put the game on just to have some background noise for the dogs. Eric the driver says
people
that.
Put their TVs on for their dogs. Guys, pay attention.
That's what you saw on that text message.
Yeah, I did.
That's what you pulled.
I really did. Because I revert back to conversations we've had in the last 6 months.
9740. It's football. Of course, we'll watch at least one quarter. I think
your Astros are on. I understand if there's nothing on.
Yeah.
If it was on like Saturday or Sunday, but your Astros are on.
That's I have multiple screens. That's not a challenge.
That's a good point.
Okay, BK.
That's a good point. I'm a multiple screen guy myself.
I could pretty easily watch up to four things at a time if I wanted to.
I could go three. Three's about the most I can go. I'm usually a two screen guy.
I'm lazy. I don't go up to the man cave until the regular season of the NFL, and I only normally use the man cave for NFL. Mm-hmm. So I just flip back and forth.
Well, I have Hulu, so I could use the laptop for television.
And
so
I could do that as well.
A lot of times I go laptop, just TV, wherever I'm at. Bedroom, living room, game room, whatever.
And because of what you say, I have a hanger that sticks into the back of my laptop that gets me just enough reception so I get whatever the second game is.
I'm not sure what that means.
Because you don't think I'm technically savvy enough to get something or find a game.
I think you just proved it.
That's why I said that. I did that to just kind of add to your lore about me.
I thought you were being serious.
I did, too. I didn't know where you were going.
You'd be amazed what that coat hanger can get you.
I'm old enough to remember doing that as a kid.
Some of those
old
F1
TV
races?
Screens. Woo! On the old TV screens, though, when you had the antenna, I do remember doing that. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776.
The commercial where the family doesn't want to give up their old ways, and they send the kid up or the dad up on the roof with the antenna. You're right. You had the bunny ears on top of the TV, and you were turning them and adjusting them to get that picture right.
I remember bunny ears. I certainly do. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Big C, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Big C?
What up? I'm going to agree with Brendan. I am watching the preseason game that's on NBC.
Oh, it's on NBC.
Since y'all want to know what channel it's on, yes. So you know what play-by-play team you're getting.
NBC. Who's going to? You think Tirico's going to be on the call tonight?
Oh, yeah. He's got to get reps with the new team.
You think so?
Is it him and Collinsworth?
If that's their A team.
Right, because Collinsworth stayed and Al Michaels left.
Al Michaels went to Amazon.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So,
They bumped up Tirico.
So it's Tirico and Collinsworth.
Yeah. If that's their A team. I don't know if their A team's going to be on the silly Hall of Fame game.
Oh, it's the first game of the NFL season, and because it's the greatest day in the sports year for some people, you got to have your A team.
Yeah, I bet you they will be on the call. 713-780-ESPN. What are things in your life that you get excited for that most people don't? What is your Hall of Fame game to your Brendan? For me, it's like college baseball, niche sports. Blankers mentions the Masters. Ocho says, I get excited for the start of the Texas high school football season and college basketball tournaments like the Maui Classic and the Big 12 versus SEC matchups.
I'm all for that.
Oh, I love that stuff.
That's way different than the lack of excitement for the Hall of Fame game.
You know what I miss was the 24-hour start to college basketball. Remember they would have the 20, it's on for 24 hours the very first. I missed that.
Well, and here's the thing, too. College basketball got smart. From the minute that they start playing games, there's always going to be one or two big matchups, like top 25-esque teams, that's going to really draw you in. It's not going to be like a mismatch that you're watching just because it's basketball.
3 months away from the start of college basketball season. Who's counting down? 8769 didn't even realize it was the Hall of Fame game until y'all show. That is pretty much where we are.
Two of us are.
We didn't realize it was the Hall of Fame game until Brendan played the celebration music to start that last segment.
Might postpone his wedding if it was on the same day.
Yeah. You don't get married on a Hall of Fame game.
Not if you're Brendan Riley, you don't.
Brendan has that in his dating profile.
Who gets married on a Thursday?
Don't ask for a date on the Hall of Fame game.
Oh, that's another topic my buddy just brought up to me, though. You say that, but and a lot of people do it on the cheap. But my buddy's going to a wedding this weekend in Tennessee, and he's pissed off because the wedding's on Sunday because they want to save money. Who does a wedding on a Sunday, especially when you have people coming in from out of town?
I've been to Sundays and Fridays. I've never been to a Thursday.
We did a Friday. We did a Friday wedding.
That's okay because you got the rest of the weekend to plan wherever you're coming from. You can get back out. But then, and then he said, and next month I got one on Labor Day. That's a killer.
Seahawks says, last night the Little League World Series regional game started. We'll watch every inning I can.
I do enjoy the that's where we disagree, but I do enjoy the Little League World Series.
So overrated.
Cannot I like to see it. The level these kids are at based on, you know, all of a sudden you've got these 12-year-olds that have had hitting and pitching coaches since they were, like, out of the womb, and you can see them already, you know, looking like they're potential major leaguers the way they're being analyzed.
What was that, Danny Amendola or whatever? Not Amendola.
No,
Almonte.
Almonte. Danny Almonte.
He was 27 years yeah. old, striking out little 12-year-olds.
He can bring it.
Yeah, Little League World Series is awesome.
Or the girl that ended up playing.
Oh, I forget her name. I don't remember
but
her name.
She played softball at, like, Temple.
Did she? 0754, Killer B's got that dog in him. You're darn right we do.
Damn right we do.
713-780-ESPN. How much do two top 10 picks speed up the Houston Texans rebuild? Don't tell Casario I said that. Killer B's, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. You almost heard me say those dudes chopping down trees and stuff. We were talking about things that people get excited for that most people don't.
And Fuentes said he likes watching the strongman competitions when they're out. I didn't know that they were still on, but I know I forget the guy's name. That was
Mark,
like,
Henry.
No, there was a foreign guy that was like the multiple times world's strongest man. Like,
no idea.
Vitas Vickelson or something like that.
I think that was it.
Yeah, it was something like
that. That was it.
But dude's pulling school buses with a mouthpiece and then chopping down, like, redwood trees and all kinds of stuff.
They used to have the outdoor games, too, I think, where they would chop down the trees and, like, archery and stuff like that. It was pretty cool. 713-780-ESPN. People are tweeting us all these ponchos locations around the city of Houston. Raise the flag, baby. That's how it works. You would raise the flag. They come. It's kind of like a Brazilian buffet a little bit. Like you raise the flag. You get sopapillas. You walk through the buffet line.
What's the flag for?
I think it's for the sopapillas.
Okay.
I think you raise the flag if you want sopapillas.
I thought it was like when they do at some of the other buffets. Like you put this up on the table if it means leave my stuff alone. I'm still eating.
Yeah.
And you flip it over if you're done.
That's like kind of like a Brazilian steakhouse.
Yeah.
Like the green light. Bring me all the meats. Red Magnus light. Stop
Magnuson.
With the meats.
Isn't that the guy?
No clue, man.
I'm going to check it out. I think that's right.
You could tell me anybody was his name, and I would believe
you. You believe in my memory.
Yeah. I just knew it wasn't Vickelson.
There it is.
713-780-ESPN.
He's Icelandic.
Vickelson?
Magnus? No, he's a golfer. Magnus? Yeah. Magnuson.
Phil Vickelson, strongest
Iceland
man in the world.
Strongman competitor and winner of the world's strongest man.
Yeah, cool.
There you go. I got it right.
That's awesome. 713-780-ESPN. So, Deshaun Watson, the NFL has appealed, right? The NFL has appealed. Roger Goodell did today mention that they're going to use somebody from outside of the NFL offices to handle the appeal process, so he tries to kind of wash his hands of this entire situation. Look, there's two ways to look at this. The first way from like an NFL perspective, the way I saw the NFL handle it yesterday, where, okay, we're going to appeal, and then all of a sudden you have every single one of their talking head reporters, Adam Schefter, Ian Rapoport, Judy Batista, I mean, the list goes on and on. Goodell has his people that are talking about basically what the NFL wants the message to be across the bow, right? Like, they're looking for a year suspension. They're looking for their original settlement, all of this stuff. To me, the way I viewed it was the NFL basically using a power play against Deshaun Watson, leaking all of this information to their talking head reporters to force Deshaun Watson to accept their original settlement offer or a deal that is fine with the NFL, where they come out looking stronger in this from the public opinion.
This is more or less circumventing the new clause they put in the collective bargaining agreement so they don't look as bad, but they still get what they want out of the deal. Because the other thing that when you read between the lines and see some of the things that people that have analyzed this appeal have said, Deshaun does not want to pay Rusty the amount of money that it could take for as long as this thing could get tied up in court to see this whole thing through. And as much as they've threatened the lawsuit, more timely than not, especially because he wants to get back on the football field, he just wants to know and start the process and get it behind him as quickly as he possibly can. And if it means this year, especially specifically because he's only making $1 million as opposed to that massive deal that starts next season, that more likely than not, this is the league way, league's way of getting what they wanted done from the get-go without looking like they controlled the entire process, though they did.
We said this, too, before the appeal became official, that the NFL had a decision to make on who they were going to make mad. They were either going to make the public mad by not appealing and trying to lengthen this suspension, or they were going to make the NFL Players Association mad by appealing and trying to link this suspension. We talked about this yesterday before the appeal. The NFL and Roger Goodell weren't going to choose the NFL Players Association over the general public. Nope. It was the most obvious thing ever.
When you looked at how much they value the court of public opinion, and this is prior to, but now especially because after the Ray Rice debacle and the way they've handled some of these domestic issues and how they've seen and felt the backlash, there is no way in hell they were just going to go, yep, okay, six games it is. We'll wipe our hands of it and let's go.
Right.
No, and they knew the minute that the decision came from Sue Robinson, they knew and they saw, we can't let this happen. That's why, you like you said, we mentioned on the show immediately, one way or another, they're going to jump back into this, and that's why we said it was so key to understand Sue Robinson's was a recommendation.
Yeah. Now they did hurt somebody's feelings by doing so. Like, there was going to be hurt feelings with the decision. Whatever decision they made was going to hurt somebody's feelings. It's why they were between a rock and a hard place. But they're going to tick off the NFLPA way before they tick off the general public.
Right, no doubt. And they're like, hey, look, the collective bargaining agreement is signed, sealed, and delivered.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Collective bargaining agreement is signed, sealed, and delivered.
Yeah, sorry. So what that means is they'd rather ruffle the feathers of the NFLPA and realize there's nothing they can do about it, and they can get mad at us and say, then why'd you put the clause in the first place? And the next time we have a collective bargaining agreement, you can bring it up and say, don't even bother this time, and we can go, okay. But at the same time, it's a hell of a lot better to do that than to sit there and accept the decision and face the backlash from every different angle, because you didn't even have to be female to have people out there in high-ranking places and with national caveats in terms of their jobs and covering the league going, this is crazy. I mean, what's her name? Amy Dash, the lawyer that used to work for the Raiders.
She's a lawyer.
I think she is.
Okay. Yeah.
She annihilated Sue Robinson, the process as it relates to the NFL, everything in the document, how out of one corner of her mouth, Sue Robinson was saying how Deshaun had no remorse and didn't show anything, but then she didn't punish him, like seeing someone that was that flippant about it. And she was just, I think it was like 8 or 9 tweets. It's like, and every time you looked, it was someone else that was going, you can't just, if you're the NFL, you can't settle for that.
Yeah, that's it's why the NFL is appealing. They tick off the Players Association, but they've been ticking off the Players Association since the beginning of time. I think one thing that Goodell looks at here, too, is like, okay, he wants to lengthen the suspension, but I do believe it's a power play to try to get Watson to agree to what their settlement offer was. Because the NFL settlement offer reportedly was 12 games, $10 million fine. Watson's counterproposal was like zero. He didn't think he deserved any sort of thing. So like, okay, you have one side of the argument. You have the other side of the argument. Now the NFL is flexing here on Deshaun Watson because they still really, I mean, you get down to it. If the NFL can appeal and then they can handle the appeal process, they really still have all the power. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's going to be one of two things. I think that eventually the NFL could either slightly come off the settlement offer for Deshaun. If they go to negotiations and they try to settle this, Deshaun Watson should be trying to settle this with the NFL. Otherwise, he's facing deeper suspension or money loss. I think that the NFL could agree to like an 8-10 game suspension, but a $10 million fine.
Yep.
Or if he doesn't want to accept the money fine, okay, a full season-long suspension for Deshaun Watson. And I would say that Deshaun Watson needs to settle with the NFL, because if they go to court, they're not winning with a CBA that was signed by the NFLPA.
And the NFLPA, I mean, the NFL itself gets to assign someone to handle, whether it be Goodell himself or someone else.
He said he's going to go outside.
They assign someone, so they're going to assign someone that's probably already on their same wavelength in terms of cases they've dealt with in the past, or to have some kind of a reference point to say, oh, this is our kind of guy or our kind of female to be involved in this process, like Sue Robinson. But regardless, you know it's also going to be a drawn-out process. You know that, you know, Deshaun doesn't want to sit there and keep draining more and more money. He got lucky in the fact that, but I think that was another point that the public opinion comes into it. Are you telling me this guy's only going to lose $330,000 and you've suspended guys more for less?
Yep.
There's no way that should be acceptable.
See, I think Florio's like opinion of this actually is truth whenever it like when you talk about the way Goodell views this. Remember the two things that we heard from Florio talking about his opinion on how Goodell looks at this is that they had their eye on the Trevor Bauer situation. Mm-hmm. I don't think Goodell likes the fact that you can – like, okay, it's not an apple-to-apple comparison, Trevor Bauer's case, Deshaun Watson's case, but it's an act against sexual misconduct towards a woman, right? And Major League Baseball has basically eliminated Trevor Bauer from Major League Baseball or Deshaun Watson getting a slap in the wrist. I don't think Goodell likes that. Two – you've been all over this. The fact that he recircumvented the will, his people, his agent, making that contract for this upcoming season so small. And Goodell, I think, looks at that as a slap in the face, saying, you're not doing that to me, brother.
Right. Yep. That has been a point of contention of mine all along because of the fact that it's not even about the money case, though it is. It's more about the fact that you look like you just worked us as a league, and we can't have that. And especially the guy that represents every owner of every team does not want to look like, because I think the teams themselves got pissed off at what the Browns did. And, of course, giving him that contract on top of it set a new bar for every team owner that has to sign a quarterback. But more so than anything else, every team owner also said, but maybe Jerry Jones chuckled a little bit and said, hey, I'd have done that. But other than that, I think that most guys that own teams are looking at this too going, hey, time out. Wait a minute. So all of a sudden, you're going to say because he's a good football player and a bad dude that he's going to be able to save millions upon millions, and the league's going to say that's okay?
Yeah. So it's not going to be six games. It's more than likely going to be longer. How much longer still to be determined? I think it could be anywhere from 8 games to 17 games. But good news for the Houston Texans. Obviously, the closer it is to that back-end range, the longer range, the better it is for the Houston Texans. I firmly think that two top 10 picks are now in play for the Houston Texans. How much does that speed up the rebuild? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, Deshaun Watson, something's going to happen. The NFL appealed the process. Goodell's going to go outside of the NFL offices, probably a guy he likes, to see if there's going to be a tack on or addition to this Deshaun Watson suspension. I would say it's pretty safe to assume there's going to be games added to the suspension. How many games? Who knows? If you get to the full season, if you get to 12, which was the initial proposal for the NFL, the settlement proposal, 12 games, $10 million, full season, no fine at all. I think that the NFL is going to try to get as close to that as they possibly can with Deshaun Watson in this appeal process. And they could still settle. They could still settle before the whoever's handling the appeal makes their decision. So that's also in play here. But another thing that I think is in play, and it does depend on the length of the suspension, is that the Houston Texans could be staring down the barrel of two top 10 draft picks in the 2023 NFL draft. We think that the Houston Texans, record-wise, in their own draft pick, are going to finish bottom 10 of the NFL and have a top 10 pick. Now, if you're Cleveland, their roster's better all around, but you have Jacoby Brissett as your starting quarterback, and what is a tough division within a tough conference, and the schedule for Cleveland not that easy. So if you're without Deshaun Watson for almost all of the games, 12 to 17 of the games that you're playing next season, Cleveland suddenly becomes a team that could finish in the bottom 10 of the NFL. If we're working with the premise that the Houston Texans have two top 10 picks, 2023 NFL draft, how much does that accelerate the rebuild that Nick Caserio's overseeing?
Oh, I think it can accelerate it a lot. I think that when we talk about who's available in this upcoming draft as opposed to who was available in the previous draft, and you look at all the different skill position players and impact players that will be available in this draft, different than a year ago, that could be perfect for what the Houston Texans need, it should excite every Texans fan a great deal. Because as much as we've been trying to set a timetable to this rebuild and try to figure out when they could be competitive, the one thing that could speed it up is having two top 10 picks and end up getting guys like Anderson and one of the quarterbacks that's available and looking at it and going, you know what? This is amazing. Because now you got better on both sides of the football. Mm-hmm. You got potential impact players on both sides of the football. And you still have a ton of money in your back pocket to spend that you can start considering going, because we loaded up on youth that are talented, and because we got guys better than we thought we were going to be able to get by where we were picking, we might be able to do some things to where we can kind of speed this thing up more than we even thought was possible.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, look, from a talent level alone, you rather have two top 10 picks than picks outside of the top 10. It's not rocket science here. But look at this year's rookie class. Look at all the buzz that this year's rookie class is generating at Houston Texans training camp. The only one of those is a top 10 pick. Kenyon Green just outside of the top 10. He was picked in the teens. But Derek Stingley Jr., tons of buzz on what he can become. I don't think the buzz for Kenyon Green is as high as some of the other rookies. One, because he plays on the offensive line. Two, that he's got a little bit of a setback coming off the injuries that he had in the offseason that he's working back from. Jalen Petrie was a second rounder. Look how much buzz Jalen Petrie is getting. Yep. Look how much buzz Harris is getting, the rookie linebacker from Alabama. That dude was drafted
I like that guy.
Outside of the first round, outside of the top 10. John Mechie, a lot of people were looking at him before the unfortunate news with the leukemia, and hopefully he can battle through that. We see him on the football field at some point, but above all of
most
that, just make sure
just
he's
be
healthy.
A healthy human being.
People had so much buzz about John Mechie as well. So look at anybody in the top 10 this year in the NFL draft, and if you had two of them, I don't care what the combination is. I don't care which of the two of the top 10 that you had from this year's draft class. You would be over the moon about where the Houston Texans are going, and then you're adding it to the rookie class that you already have. Now, new information has to come out between now and next year's NFL draft, who's played what, who's done things as a rookie. But if you look at this year's top 10, Trayvon Walker, Aiden Hutchinson, Derek Stingley, Sauce Gardner, Kayvon Thibodeau, the Ike Okwuegbunam guy, the offensive lineman, Evan Neal, Drake London, Charlie Cross, Garrett Wilson. And then you have two picks outside of the top 10, Chris Olave, Jameson Williams. You can even go down to Jordan Davis at number 13. If you have two of those top 10, two of those guys, how excited would you be about the direction and the future of the Houston Texans? So the Texans could be in that situation where you're adding two of that caliber of players next offseason to what already was a very good draft class. I mean, you're talking about the foundation of a really good football team. So asking the question, how much does it accelerate the rebuild if you have two top 10 picks? I think it almost doubles the speed of the rebuild. I think you're looking at potential, like, meaningful games in December, contending for a playoff spot in 2023 if you have two of the top 10.
I think that's the ceiling. I think that's the best case scenario, because I think that it would be ideal, obviously, if you had those picks in multiple rounds. But I think just the pick where you have it in the first round alone and the impact that player can have on your roster as opposed to anybody later in the first and on should give you the premise that you can get this thing going faster than you thought you could. If Davis Mills continues to develop and you see the potential of the guys you already drafted and you know that you're going to add even more young talent than you would if you had only your picks, absolutely you can keep this train running down the track at a high rate of speed and speed up this whole process. Like I said, and then maybe you look at free agency entirely differently. Yeah. Because now, instead of getting another year of guys that might have some potential that are younger, now you might be willing to spend a little bit more and commit to a few more years to a player or two here or there where you didn't have the draft capital enough to cover every position group. But if you can get a guy in free agency that can add to the young players you're bringing in and you realize it makes you better and give you a better – hell yeah, you do it.
A lot of times the most valuable player in the NFL – are the rookies because of their contract and their talent. Like, it's great to have Aaron Rodgers. It's great to have Pat Mahomes, obviously. But you're paying those guys top dollar. So, like, yeah, the value is great, but the dollar is very great, too. Russell Wilson's always used as the example here. You're paying a fourth-round quarterback in Wilson's case, wasn't it? You're paying a quarterback at very cheap dollar. He's giving you unbelievable value, so the value versus the dollar is you don't see that once a player gets their first contract after their rookie deal. So you're talking about this year's draft class, a lot of players, quality players you hope and you think. Next year's draft class, again, a lot of quality players you think, playing on a cheap contract. If you're Nick Caserio, you can be aggressive in the free agent market and also look at the window of when you're going to have a surplus of money, because these rookies would be on the rookie deal. Like, this isn't even a Davis Mills conversation. Mm-mm. Because if Davis Mills plays great, okay, great. Now you draft two picks in the top 10 that aren't quarterbacks. Okay, if Davis Mills doesn't play great, I have to take Bryce Young. That's probably even more exciting.
I think that you even look at, not necessarily that you have to, but even if there was a running back in the free agent market that you say, you know what, here's a guy, a really young, talented guy that maybe didn't fit in somebody's plans. And you're not going to have to overpay like we're talking about that you used to have to pay for a running back. But otherwise, you might not even consider paying a running back anything. But you know that or tight end. Those are pieces where you don't have them yet and you haven't solidified that position yet. Maybe Pierce is that guy. Mm-hmm. But you look at it and go, if I could get one or two guys like that in free agency, a young tight end that didn't fit with his first team but was a really good college player, look for a running back, still got plenty of tread on the tires, maybe just didn't get the right look from the team he was playing for. And you go, you know what? I'm even willing to do a little something there, too. Because now, whether it's going to be Davis Mills as my quarterback or I go draft one with one of those two top 10 picks, as long as we do what we did this year, surround that quarterback or those quarterbacks with the most talent we possibly can to see what we got. We got a competition brewing at quarterback, but we got pretty much everything else.
Yeah, speed up the rebuild. I think it goes to, like, you know, pedal to the metal. I think that the rebuild is like you see the light at the end of the tunnel as quickly as the end of next year's draft if you have two in the top 10. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Steven, how does two top 10 picks next year for the Texans sound? How does that speed up the rebuild?
That speeds up the rebuild quite a bit, but I actually had a question on what might get us to those top 10 picks as far as what's going on with the Deshaun Watson with his suspension. Whenever Goodell comes back and extends his suspension, which we all assume he's going to do, you know, I think that we're going to see Deshaun Watson fight it in court similar to what we saw Brady do years ago. Mm-hmm. And that if that happens, could Roger Goodell then put him on the commissioner's exempt list to keep him playing this season while that's in litigation?
Yep, it's a good question, Steven. I was researching this yesterday, too, because I remember, was it Ezekiel Elliott that had the six-game suspension, but he took it to court and actually played in the first couple of games?
Sounds right.
I believe that was Zeke. If not, if it wasn't Zeke, I could be mistaken, but there's an example of a player, it might even have been Brady, that had a suspension from Goodell. They took it to court. They filed, a stay or whatever.
Yeah, so
it allowed him to play until the court decided on the decision. And I think Brady might have even pulled the court case even before it was decided on. But I actually did some research on this, and I understand by the way that the new CBA is written that it basically takes that off the table, that the chances of a player doing that are basically zero.
And why would that be?
I can't remember the exact language of it, but from what I was reading in the homework I was doing on it, that it seems that that precedent, that example is no longer in play for players around the league.
Again, I think that unlike how this process played out, I think that the next process, if Deshaun fights it, could get drawn out a long time.
Yeah.
And if it does, especially with how much time he's already been out, how much money he's already lost.
I don't know who picks up the bill on this type of case, though.
That'd be interesting.
I don't know if it's Deshaun or if it's the PA.
Well, I don't know that the PA is going to want to pay Rusty's tab, but, you know, it depends on who the representation is going to be key, too. Do you want Rusty involved, or does that mean the PA selects who's going to represent Deshaun? And when you look at it, he's got to get back playing football, and he's also got to be concerned about the fact that this is the year to give up the games and the salary and the paycheck, as long as the NFL doesn't want to also tack on a substantial fine. Because this is the year that I don't have to worry about them tapping into hardly any of that 230. But after we get through this year, if you want to make this indefinite and you want to really drag your feet and also make sure you hit me where it hurts, well, especially since supposedly I haven't felt any remorse yet, then start tapping into that 230 every game you miss next season and really hit him hard.
See, I think that's ultimately, I really believe that they're going to settle. Mm-hmm. I really do believe that the NFL and Deshaun Watson are going to settle on the terms of what the suspension is going to be, because I think the NFL is playing hardball here. Like, okay, we'll give you the whole CBA, independent arbiter, Judge Sue Robinson, we'll let her pick, but then if she doesn't do anything that we like, we're going to be like, okay, nice try, we'll appeal, and then we're now going to handle it, let the big boys do it, kind of what Goodell's like mantra is whenever you talk about this. So, like, now they have all the power. They can levy any suspension that they want. They can do an indefinite suspension if they want, with Deshaun Watson forcing himself to apply back for reinstatement, kind of like Josh Gordon, the marijuana thing. So, like, what – Deshaun Watson has no power here.
No, this
Roger
is essentially –
Roger Goodell has Watson over the barrel.
Yep, this is essentially, if you're Roger Goodell, look, I'm going to let you say what you want to say. I'm going to let you find out some information before the whole decision comes down from Sue Robinson and say that you would agree with it. You're not going to appeal it. You know what's coming. And we're just going to kind of bide our time. But at the right time, we're going to show you whose balls are the biggest. I meant NFL game balls. And whose name is on them. And Roger Goodell is going to tell you, this is where we're going to drop the hammer down and say, we are still the boss of this thing. We still are going to get the final say. Now, if you want to make it easy, we can work with you. And that's where you said, like you said, I believe they're going to settle and they're going to figure out somewhere meeting in the middle. And I think Deshaun is more concerned right now about a fine as opposed to an indefinite suspension. And if he fights it at all, them trying to draw it out where it could hit him financially.
Real quick, you think Deshaun would take 12-game, $10 million fine or 4-game suspension, no fine?
I think he'd take a full season and no fine.
because it's only going to cost them the $1 million of salary this year.
And
it's
that interesting that factors into
great for the Texans.
But it's fantastic for the Texans. But also from his camp's perspective, we all know the bottom line is meaningful, and he already in his mind said he was going to be suspended for a majority of the season, no matter what he says publicly. But that covers the fact that he's still covered paying off probably every one of the people that he paid off in the settlements. It covers Rusty's legal fees. It doesn't touch the 230, and he still gets a clean start next season and has all of his money.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. James Palmer of NFL Network used to be a Houston media type. He was out of Texans training camp the other day, had glowing things to say about Davis Mills. We'll kick that around with him when we return and the Deshaun Watson stuff.
And Christian Kirksey.
On ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.